Club Krach auf Eldoradio und Punkrockers Radio.
Wenn ihr ab jetzt jeden vierten Donnerstag ab 8 auf punkrockersradio.de klickt, dann hört ihr das hier und ihr hört eine Menge Gespräche mit sehr geilen Bands. Natürlich nur geile Bands, nur geile Kapellen insgesamt. Zum Beispiel die Muncie Girls aus England. Die haben im Herbst ein neues Album rausgebracht. Fixed Ideals heißt das, also fixierte Ideale zu Deutsch. Und das ist das zweite Album der Muncie Girls nach From Kaplan to Belsize. Respekt, den kennt ihr bestimmt. Damit sind die Muncie Girls hierzulande ziemlich gefeiert worden, sind auch immer wieder hier nach Deutschland gekommen, denn sie haben gesagt, sie haben so einen coolen Trick gefunden, die Fähre so zu buchen, dass sie super billig ist, und dann konnten sie immer mit der Fähre von England übersetzen nach Deutschland und hier ganz viele Konzerte spielen. Deswegen kennen wir die jetzt super gut und feiern zum Beispiel diesen Song Respekt total. Jetzt eben Fixed Ideals, neue Platte. Und mit Sängerin Landy habe ich mich vor ihrem Konzert im AZ Köln unterhalten und sie gefragt, was denn so die großen Themen auf dem Album seien. Ihre Antwort, ein Thema, ist auf jeden Fall, dass sie aufgehört hat zu trinken.
There are a few different topics, but one of the big ones is that, like, I stopped drinking. But only, I think only the last few songs that I wrote on there were written after I stopped drinking. The rest were before.
When did you stop?
A few different reasons. I was drinking too much, and it was kind of getting in the way of, like, productivity. Mm-hmm. And also, like, drinking's always been really fun for me. And then I think getting to a point where I realized that maybe it wasn't just because it was fun, maybe I was using it as a kind of mm-hmm. way of dealing with certain things. Like, it made me feel like I wanted to stop. So I quit drinking and smoking. It was really difficult. Like, the act of stopping wasn't, mm-hmm. I wasn't, like, having withdrawals or anything. It wasn't too bad, but just kind of getting used to not having that thing to fall back on.
Yeah.
So, like, being able to drink just to kind of make things a little bit easier was quite difficult. But then I also found myself, like, producing more art, more music, mm-hmm. more writing, more reading, and, like, connecting with people on a kind of deeper level rather than just going to the pub and talking about, like, shit and getting, mm-hmm. you know, getting into arguments or getting into, like, really passionate conversations about basically nothing. Mm-hmm. Whereas yeah. now it's kind of like I have conversations that mean something to me and I remember them. I was doing it because it's what you do.
Yeah.
Whereas actually, like, when I think about it, like, do I agree with the alcohol industry and is it closely related to, like, capitalism? And do I agree with, you know, running away from things? Or do I want to just, like, live a little bit more consciously? So, I don't know. It's a
yeah,
lot
but
of reasons,
I think it's
I suppose.
Like, I did this also for, like, a year.
Oh, yeah,
and
cool.
Really stopped. And I think, like, for me, it was the same that I figured out, like, I was listening to people when I was out.
Mm-hmm.
Even though other people were drinking, they were mm-hmm. telling me real stories. And I thought this was so interesting that you
yeah.
could have real, like, conversations
yeah,
during the
totally.
Night.
And you're not just listening to the sound of your own voice.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're actually, like, I've learned a lot about listening to people.
Because
mm-hmm. I've always been outspoken, mm-hmm. but I've always drank since I was 12 years old, like every weekend, whenever I could, all
okay.
the time. And then for the first time I stopped drinking and, yeah, I realised, oh, I don't have to talk all the time. I can
yeah.
let people talk. And but since then I've started, like, yeah, volunteering for, like, the rape crisis in
mm-hmm.
my local place and just doing things that I've always wanted to do.
Yeah.
And it feels really good, so... So far, it's been a really positive thing. But I think that kind of shaped the album a little bit.
How are the reactions? Because I remember, like, people coming up to me like, this is so not punk.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, it's kind of not punk in the way it sounds, but then it's way more punk because it's kind of like taking a step towards doing what we want to do rather than doing what we think people want. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So for me, like the idea of, like, being straight edge or, you know, living more consciously is super punk, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it's kind of, like, I've been a punk since I was 16. And so kind of I've been trying to come to terms with it a bit more and kind of, like, figure out how it relates to me more. And that's kind of, the album's kind of closely related to that.
Lende Hecht von den Muncie Girls hat also das Trinken oder besser das Nicht-Trinken zu einem der Themen auf dem neuen Album Fixed Ideals gemacht. Sie hat aufgehört zu saufen und sagt, das ist eigentlich viel mehr Punk, als sich wegzuscheppern. Denn wie sehr wollen wir eigentlich diese Alkoholindustrie unterstützen und wie sehr versuchen wir eigentlich im Punk doch frei unseren eigenen Idealen nachzugehen? Die letzten drei Songs auf Fixed Ideals sind entstanden, nachdem Lende aufgehört hat zu trinken. Einer davon ist der Track mit einem sehr deutlichen Titel, Hangovers, hört ihr jetzt, bevor wir dann mit Lenny über Empowerment-Konzepte sprechen. Das ist dann wirklich der ruhigste Track vom Album Fixed Ideals von den Muncie Girls, was im Herbst rausgekommen ist. Ansonsten für mich ein ziemlich starker Nachfolger zu From Kaplan to Bell's Eyes. Über das Album selber sprechen wir später noch ein bisschen mehr mit Lenny, die Sängerin der Muncie Girls. Ich habe sie im AZ Köln auf dem Sofa getroffen. Ziemlich netter Talk mit ihr, sehr intim auch. Sie hat wirklich sehr privat von sich erzählt. Und ich habe mal in einem Interview mit dem Ox-Fernsehen, war es glaube ich, gelesen, dass die Muncie Girls sagen, sie sehen sich jetzt nicht so eindeutig in der Linie mit den Riot Girls, aber sie stehen schon für ähnliche Ideale. Und da habe ich sie mal gefragt, was denn eigentlich von dem, was die Riot Girls erkämpfen wollten in den 90ern, Anfang der 90er, für sie immer noch zu erkämpfen ist und was sie denn eigentlich auch unter Empowerment versteht.
In terms of empowerment, I like the idea of like kind of, you know, non-men, queer people, people of color, anyone who's been, you know, like traditionally kind of downtrodden, anyone who kind of finds a little bit of inspiration to kind of do their own thing and you know, live their kind of, live truly to themselves. Like that for me is really important. But I don't predict that would happen from what I write. But like, if that ever happens, that's fucking awesome. But yeah, you just never know.
Yeah, I think I read an interview where you said like you don't consider Muncie Girls to be like a band directly in tradition with Riot Girls or like something like that, but like in the idea of. What else is it for you that is still not right in like the punk scene, maybe in Great Britain, maybe when you're traveling in terms of equality and yeah, empowering people?
What's still not right about it? Well, I guess like it's quite sad really, because like the Riot Girls scene started in the early 90s, and obviously there was conversation around those topics long before that, albeit sometimes problematic, but you know, those conversations started back then. There was radical change, there was, you know, there was like conflict between people, between scenes, and all this shit happened basically, and it's continued to be fought for by people all the time. People dedicate their lives to it, people start bands about it, they make loads of art, they campaign, but those issues, like, they still are so prominent. And it's obviously, it's the same here, it's the same in America, it's the same in England. It's like, it's a complete boys club, it's so white, it's so heteronormative, and it's
so...
But
was this, like, always obvious to you, or...
Totally, because when I was 18, which is when I started getting into Riot Girl, I started this workshop called School of Frock, and I went to my friend who runs the Cavern, the local venue in Exeter, and said, like, can we start a workshop to get more...
What is it about, the workshop?
It's to get more, like, girls and women to start bands, so it's called School of Frock, and... it's basically a one-day workshop where we teach like girls and women to just play instruments really to a basic level, start a band and then play in the band that same night. So it's basically just to show how easy it can be. And that idea completely came because I recognised that there was a massive imbalance. And that's just the issue that was affecting me. Do you know what I mean? Because it was what I couldn't see myself in the scene that I wanted to be a part of. Luckily, I had like the confidence, I don't know where from, but to kind of do it anyway. Yeah. But had I not had that confidence, then I wouldn't have been in a band. That's just the issue that was affecting me. Whereas like, obviously like people of color, people with disabilities, those are the kind of people that aren't seeing themselves reflected in music, and they're not always able to kind of assert themselves into that situation. So it took me a little bit longer to recognize those issues because I had to like look outside of my reflection, I suppose. But once you notice it, you can't stop noticing it, because it's just so difficult. People don't tend to make an effort to include people. people don't want to talk for others, you know, like it's all very well like me talking about feminism, but I understand that it feels to me more difficult to talk about disability or, you know, like issues for people of color, because it's like, oh yeah, but you're, you know, I have that level of privilege.
It should be
open of course.
To, like, your mind and if you can.
But yeah, and I don't want to speak for people,
you
know, because it's patronizing and it's awkward and all those kinds of things. But at the same time, I just want the scene to be welcoming for everybody, and it's so frustrating.
Schwierige Diskussion. Kann ich als weiße Person für jemand anderen in der Punk-Szene sprechen, der vielleicht People of Color ist? Lande Heck macht sich auf jeden Fall Gedanken darum von den Muncie Girls. Sie hat die School of F-Rock, einen Workshop, in dem sie Mädchen beibringt, in Bands zu zocken, gegründet. Ziemlich schön, weil es so einfach sein kann. Muncie Girls Picture of Health für euch. Danach dann nochmal ein kleiner musikalischer Talk über das neue Album. Übrigens könnt ihr die Großteile der Interviews, die ihr im Club Krach hört, auch nachlesen, falls ihr gerne nochmal in Ruhe gucken wollt. Manchmal stehen dann nicht so ganz nur die gleichen Sachen drin, weil wenn ihr vielleicht selbst schon mal ein Interview geführt habt, dann wisst ihr, dass wir oft über ganz viele Sachen sprechen und uns dann hinterher Sachen raussuchen, die in der Sendung vorkommen und auch Sachen vorkommen im Heft, nämlich im digitalen Heft. Getaddicted.org ist die Seite, auf der die meisten meiner Interviews dann nochmal zum Lesen auch nachlesbar sind quasi. So, Muncie Girls, mit denen, nämlich mit der Sängerin Landy, habe ich mich im AZ Köln getroffen und über das Album auch gequatscht. Denn nach diesem ersten Album, From Kaplan to Bell Size, war natürlich der Druck hoch. Und Landy sagt, es war schon schön, aber es war auch schon manchmal schwierig mit diesem zweiten Album jetzt.
Well, this is the first time we've done a record as a four-piece. Because obviously we used to be a three-piece and I was playing bass and now I'm playing guitar. But when we recorded the record, I played bass and guitar, and then Dean played the other guitar. So there's just a lot more, there's a whole other instrument. So like there's another like layer to it the whole way through. And yeah, we just kind of like, we spent a lot longer on it. We got some Arts Council funding, which we were really lucky to get. So that helped us to get more studio time. So we recorded loads more songs and then ditched some. So it's a bit of a longer record. And yeah, we just were able to like explore a little bit more. And we had
but
loads of fun.
Was it like more difficult?
Yeah. It was kind of like, there's more parts and it's kind of a bit more, it's more intricate, I suppose. And it was more difficult to record because when there are more parts, like they all have to be played perfectly because otherwise it's going to sound really like messy. So everything had to be like lined up really well. And yeah, it just took a long time. It was a lot of work.
Okay. And like, what were your concerns? Because like, I think your first long player was so celebrated and like you got so much of good responses.
Yeah,
did you? Like any concerns approaching this new one?
Yeah, I think so, because we'd heard a lot, like everyone says that like sophomore records, like second records are kind of slightly cursed because you've got this expectation from a lot of people, like if your first one did quite well, then people kind of, they want it to have developed, but they don't want it to sound totally different. So if you do a record that sounds the same, you haven't stepped it up enough. But if you do a record that sounds too different, you've kind of stepped away too much from what you were doing, and people wanted something that you haven't created. So it's essentially never enough. But actually people have been really nice about it. And like a lot of people, especially like our close friends and people that have worked on the record, like pretty much everyone that, you know, is nice to us anyway has said that they like think it's better than the previous record and they like it. So for us, that's very like reassuring. But yeah, I don't know. I think it's always going to be difficult because there's that level of expectation, whereas with the first one, there wasn't any. But we don't really care, to be honest. Like, we're happy with it. And we're proud of it, and we put a lot of work into it. So if people don't like it, like, not they can fuck off, but something to that effect, you know?
I think a friend of mine wrote in Ruby on a blog, and she wrote, like, yeah, I was so afraid it's getting too poppy and, like, indie poppy, but it's not, and I'm so glad.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. Yeah, because the other thing is, like, there are some, like, poppy moments, but the, for example, like my guitar in it, I specifically asked, like, I wanted it to be like, to sound like Susie and the Banshees. Mm-hmm. So we tried to make it like really crunchy, bit of reverb, like 80s punk. So in terms of like, there are poppy moments, but there are also more punk moments. Like, we're not just mirroring like the American punk that we grew up with. We're kind of exploring more aspects of punk in it. So I think like, in those ways, yeah, I would say it's kind of a more explorative record.
How does it feel to play live?
Feels great. And now we have Iona from Ship Present playing bass. Mm-hmm. So for us, it's like a total dream and it's really fun. And musically, we all work well together, especially with the new songs. So yeah, it feels great. Mm-hmm.
Is there any song that's like the best one to play live for you?
I like playing Locked Up because I like my guitar riff in it and it's fun to play live.
Club Krach, Punk im Radio.